Podcast 73, Mary Visits Elizabeth. The Gospel reading for this podcast is Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. In today's Gospel reading, Luke recalls the visit of Mary to her cousin Elizabeth. Although this is a meeting of the two mothers, Luke emphasizes that this is also a meeting of the two children, even though they are still in the womb. In the previous part of this chapter, the angel's message to Mary that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah also includes the information that Elizabeth was also going to have a child. This is privileged information in the sense that Mary could not have known that Elizabeth was pregnant, as Elizabeth had hidden herself away as soon as she became pregnant, and it was difficult to get news from one part of the country to another. Elizabeth couldn't pick up her cell phone and call or text Mary. And I think this is an example of God's kindness to Mary. God knows it's a big ask for her to be the virgin mother of the Messiah at the age of 14 or 15. The whole virgin birth scenario is just something so impossible. No one around her will believe this. And in the worst case scenario, as I mentioned last week, she could be stoned to death for adultery. So as part of the process to reassure Mary, the angel gives her the information about Elizabeth being pregnant, which serves as a kind of guarantee of the validity of what's going to happen to Mary. If Elizabeth is not pregnant, then Mary has got the whole thing wrong, and the angel's message is all a delusion. But if Elizabeth is pregnant, and remember, up till now, Elizabeth had been unable to have children, then that pregnancy of Elizabeth is a miracle, and it is a confirmation that Mary's miracle will also happen. So as soon as Mary hears this revelation from the angel, she hurries to visit her cousin Elizabeth. The town she goes to is a village on the outskirts of Jerusalem, identified today as Ein Kerem. Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, is a priest with duties at the temple in Jerusalem, and in those days, Ein Kerem is less than a day's walk from the temple. So Mary probably walks from Nazareth in Galilee to Ein Kerem near Jerusalem, which is about 144 kilometres. For us, it would mean walking from Hamilton to Auckland, the suburb of Takapuna. The haste with which Mary embarks on this journey shows she is obviously highly motivated to see Elizabeth and to find out if what the angel has told her about Elizabeth is true. And today's gospel passage describes this meeting of the two expectant mothers. One who is newly pregnant, Mary, and the other who is 6 months through her pregnancy, Elizabeth. At Ein Kerem today, this meeting is not only commemorated by a church, but also by a wonderful bronze statue. And the wall in the outside courtyard of the Ein Kerem church has Mary's song of praise, the Magnificat, translated into over 50 different languages, on ceramic tiles attached to the wall down one side of the garden. Mary arrives at Elizabeth's house. Before she's even entered the house, the gospel passage records that Elizabeth's baby, John, leapt in the womb when Mary greeted her. Straight away, Elizabeth is inspired by the Holy Spirit to proclaim that Mary's unborn child is her Lord. And one of the meanings for this word is master, as well as being the equivalent of God the Lord, Yahweh. What a wonderful confirmation for Mary this statement from Elizabeth is. It reassures her that she's not going crazy, and that this wonderful thing that will happen is God's doing, and that she, Mary, is going to be an essential part of God's plan for giving the world the Messiah. So not only Mary and Elizabeth meet, but John and Jesus meet for the first time, before either of them have been born. The next time they will meet, as recorded in the Gospels, is when Jesus is baptized by John in the River Jordan. This beautiful little vignette shows us not only the exemplary faith of these two women, Mary and Elizabeth, but also the way God is supporting Mary in this difficult and testing task to be the mother of the Messiah. And both Mary and Elizabeth are, obviously, women, so often overlooked or ignored, both in the society at that time and in biblical narratives. And yet, in this particular part of the Gospel, they have the only speaking roles. Mary's first words prompt an immediate, silent response from Elizabeth's unborn child. John leaps, acknowledging both her presence and the significance of the child Mary carries in her womb. John's reaction to Mary's voice fulfills Gabriel's prophecy. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Already, before he is born, John points to the coming Messiah. Mary is blessed because, despite all expectations, her social status has been reversed. She will be honored rather than shamed for bearing this child. But she has also been blessed with divine joy, with beatitude, because she has believed that God is able to do what God promises to do. When Elizabeth says, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord," she implicitly contrasts Mary's trust in God's power and promise with her own husband Zechariah's skeptical questioning. Zechariah asked for proof that the angel's word was true. Mary asked for an explanation of what was going to happen to her and then gave her willing consent. Zechariah, the priest, the religious professional, doubted God. But Mary, the poor peasant girl, believed, and her trust in God's word opened the door for God to bless her and to bless the whole world through her. Elizabeth celebrates Mary's willingness to say yes to God. And by greeting Mary with honor, Elizabeth overturns social expectations. Mary is an unmarried, pregnant woman. She might expect social judgment, shame, even ostracism from her older relative. Yet Elizabeth knows from her own experience the cost of being shamed and excluded. In her culture, a woman's primary purpose in life was to bear children. So as an elderly, infertile wife, she had endured a lifetime of being treated as a failure. Her response to her miraculous pregnancy emphasizes that God's grace has reversed her social status. "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." At last, in her old age, she is an honorable married woman, pregnant with her husband's son. Elizabeth's words and actions invite us to reflect on our own openness to the ways that God chooses to act in our world. What is God doing through unexpected people in our society today? Where is God at work through people whom our neighbours and maybe even us as church members often exclude or treat as shameful? Will we listen to the Spirit's prompting when the bearers of God's new reality show up on our doorstep? May we, at this Christmas time, like Elizabeth and Mary, trust that God is coming to save and free us. May we, like them, give thanks that God has taken away our shame, and then respond to God's love by welcoming the shameful. May we, like them, become a community that supports each other as we hope and wait. So there are two things reflecting on this message that I leave with you. One, God is kind. If you need to do something difficult that is in His will, He will support you and will send other people to you from the community of faith that will help you to do what He wants. And secondly, Mary is an example of someone who has faith and is willing to risk everything, maybe even her life, to do what God is calling her to do. How much are we willing to risk?